Good evening, ladies. I hope all of you are happy and good health, joy, simha. Today's poem is a personal poem. It's a personal prayer that I wrote. It's not the usual poem that I've read to you in the past. A sincere prayer. Hashem, draw me close to you. To you, draw me close. Hashem, appear in sweetness in my dreams. Hashem, do not let me stray from you. Though the flesh be weak, strengthen me that I always follow thy will. Heavenly Father, the black angel tries to tempt me, but forbid him to succeed. I am like a lost sheep in the wilderness. Be then, please, my goodly shepherd, and bless me with peace now and forever.
Come up. You're getting better and better.
Thank you.
Nechama, you realize that in the last, I would say, 3 months, Nechama Nancy, her poems always have always talking about Hashem. You realize that?
Yes.
Every poem you write talks about Hashem. You're in the zone. You're in the right zone. Okay. So, this week's parsha is Parsha's Matos. Matos talks about the halachas of using your mouth, of saying words, of making promises, and all the halachas of swearing and promising is in this week's parsha. So there's a story that I'm going to say later. I've said before what tonight's very, very special night to say the story, and I'll explain to you why. So I'm going to open up tonight. Just make sure that I do not finish my shiur until I say something from Haggadah Shel Pesach. Okay? So if you see me, I'm about to finish, and I didn't say something from the Haggadah Shel Pesach, make sure you remind me that I'm not finished. It should be around 11:30. Anyway, so the story is like this. In World War I, so many of the Jews were schlepped into the army to actually fight for the Russians, and at that time there was a very holy Rebbe. His name was the Chartakova Rebbe. His name was Rabbi Yisrael Friedman, and he was helping Jews to get out of going to the army, because once they got into the army, a lot of them got killed, and he was trying to help them, and he made up all kinds of ways of them to get away from being drafted. And the Goyim heard that this rabbi is working against the government, and he's helping Jewish kids not be in the army. He's helping them escape. So they decided that they're going to find out if this is true, and they're going to send one of their soldiers dressed up with a yarmulke and tzitzis and a beard, looking like a Jew, and he's going to come to this rebbe, and he's going to tell him, "I don't want to go to war." And then they're going to find out how the Rebbe is able to, according to this rumor, how he's able to get these kids away from the draft. So, that's what they did. And one day, there was a knock on the door, and this Chassidish boy came in, and he started to cry, telling the Rebbe that he wasn't a boy, he was an adult, and he has a son, and his son is young, and they want to take him to the Russian army, and, you know, you're the rabbi, how do I get out of it? So he began to cry, and, you know, it's my only son, and if he dies, I'm not going to have any more children, and it's my continuation, and he's giving the rabbi this whole sob story, and he's crying. So Rabbi Yisrael listened to his story, and he said to him, "I hear what you're saying. Well, to get Ruach HaKodesh, what to do? Say it over again." So the guy started crying over again, and he's like, "Oi, Rebbe, you got to help me. My son, he's going to go to the army, and if he dies, I'm not going to have any continuation. And you're the man, and you know how to get us out of the army. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do whatever it is. I'll even pay you for it. Just tell me what to do." So Rebbe heard him. He said, "I'm not getting Ruach HaKodesh." He said, "Tell me one more time. Tell me your story one more time." So he started to cry, and he started to cry, and he said the same story over again, and the tears were dripping down his face, and he was blowing his nose in a tissue, and he was hysterical, "My son, and the army, and you got to do something." Finally, after the Rebbe heard the third time, he turned to this person, and he said, "I thought about it, and this is for the government, for the Tsar, and everyone has to go to the army. And as much as you want to get out of it, I'm not letting you get out of it. Just the opposite. My job as a rabbi and a Jew is to make sure that every Jewish person goes to the army and fights for his country." Okay? So this man was like, "I'm really surprised, but if that's what the rabbi says, fine." And he leaves. He goes back to the officers in charge, and he tells them what happened. So they come, the highest officer, he comes to the Rebbe's house, and he says to the Rebbe, "You know, we heard rumors about you that you're helping Jewish kids not go to the army, and we just want you to know that last week we sent a spy. He was dressed up as a Jew with payas and a beard, and we are very happy to know that you are not only not talking kids and people going to the army, but you're pushing them, and that you're a loyal servant, and we just want to tell you thank you." So they left. Chassidim went to the Rebbe. He said, "Rebbe, we knew you had Ruach HaKodesh. How did you know that this guy was a spy? Because you told him that you have to go to the army. How did you know?" And I'm opening with this story for a reason. And he said, "I'll tell you how I know. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh." He says the following. "Normally, when a Jew tells me his personal sorrow, I am able to feel a portion of his pain and suffering deep inside me. Yet when this man told me his story, his tears did not affect me at all. At first I thought it was my fault, and perhaps I'm not capable of feeling this man's suffering. I decided to ask him to tell me the problem again. When he told me the problem again, I still did not feel touched by his story. I said, there's something wrong with me. I always feel another Jew's pain. I'm not feeling his pain. So I made him tell me the story a third time. So when he told me the story the third time, and I still did not feel his pain, I knew that his whole story was false, and I knew that he was not a Jew. Because when a Jew opens up his heart, Dvarim HaYotzim Min HaLev, when pain and when a Jew's emotion comes out of his heart, it automatically goes into the other Jew's heart. And therefore, if you don't feel any pain when a Jew's in pain, either he's not a Jew or you're not a Jew. But a Jew always feels..." Am I on the phone?
No, let me have the phone. Let me do it.
Oh, right, disconnect to connect. I'll wait. Technical difficulties, one moment. I guess not a Jewish phone. Anyway, so they pretty much got the whole story. Well, they didn't get any of it, so it doesn't make a difference. So the Jew has to feel another Jew's pain. And he ends, the Hasidim said to him, when the war was over, they came in, they said, "Rebbe, the war is over." And the Rebbe said, Rebbe Yisrael said, "Don't get too excited. The war is not over. And the war with the Jews, the war against the Yetzer Hara and against our surroundings will not be over until the coming of Mashiach." Why did I open up tonight with this story? Last night, I went to be Menachem Avel, the parent of the little boy, Leib Kletzky, Yehuda Ben Nachman. That's a whole story how I got in, and it's an amazing story that's for a different day. Well, the mice, I got into the parents. I first got into the mother and the girls, and they asked me to speak to them. I spoke to them. I told them a little bit of a story, which I'm going to say tonight. And I spoke to the father, and I spoke to the grandparents. And every Jew, every person has to feel the pain of this family. Yeah, everybody says he was a carbon, and he's in a good place. And, you know, I said he's in a good place. He's in a good place, and I'm going to tell you where he is in Shemayim when I read my story. But if you know these people and you met these people, he was in a good place in this world too. What an amazing family. An amazing family. So he was in a good place. He's in a better place, but it's not always in a chama, you know. He's in a good place, but he could have gone there when he's 90. Didn't have to go there when he's 9. So what I want to speak about tonight. So first of all, of course, all I'm getting a whole week is questions and why, and Rabbi Wallerstein, what's your take on it, and why did it happen? Of course, I told you last week that I don't know the answer to that question. But I'm a very big mitzvah shev, the girls who are single, when you get married, if you invite me to your yeshiva brachas, Rabbi Wallerstein is very big into gematria. Gematria means numerical values, when words equal other words. So when you do a shidduch, so we look into the names of the girl and the boy and the families, and we always come up with a gematria, numerical value. I love to do it on Shabbos when nobody can add. I can say whatever I want. Nobody really knows the difference. A few weeks ago, I went to a Sheva Brachas, and I worked very hard on trying to figure out how these names equal each other and a bunch of different things, and it didn't really come out to anything. So I didn't know what to say because everyone knows I'm a gematria person. So I got up and I said his Hebrew name, whatever it was, Moshe and Sarah, and their last name, if you add them all up, if you add everything up, it equals Bayis Neman B'Yisrael. They went crazy. Wow, it's a Zivig Min HaShemayim. I mean, that's the bracha everyone gets. You should build a Bayis Neman B'Yisrael, and the girl and boy's name together equal Bayis Neman B'Yisrael. So they were all standing there like the place was like, right? I said, if you add up the letters, it may not add up in numerical value. But these two, this boy and this girl, they equal a bias in Eretz Yisrael. And I got away with it. They liked it. So gematria is, there's a lot of secrets to Baal HaTurim and Chumash. He writes, everything that he writes is gematria. There's a lot of secrets in gematria. So I decided today, before this year, to look into the gematria of Yehuda Leib Kletzky, Yehuda Ben Nachman. So the name Yehuda by itself equals 30, right? Yud is 10, hey is 5 is 15, vav is 6 is 21, and dalet and hey is 9 is 30. So the name Yehuda, which is his name, is Yehuda, not Leib. His name was not Leib, his name was not Leiby. He has one name, he was called Leiby, but his name was really Yehuda. Yehuda's with A. I don't know how they spelled it, but on the Mishnayos that I'm learning for him, and it says his name, it says Yehuda ben Nachman with a hey. So whoever spelled it with an aleph maybe didn't spell it right. That means everything I'm saying is true, right? Is that the saying goes? Okay. Keep sneezing. Okay, anyway. So Yehuda equals 30. I don't know Yehuda with an aleph, but I know Yehuda with a hey. So, which is actually Hashem's name. So I looked up 30, and I'd like to read you. The last gematria has a lot to do with the Haggadah Shel Pesach. So I want to end my shir tonight with that gematria. But I'd like to read you some of the gematrias that I found on the name, just on the name Yehuda by itself. So one of the gematrias is the following. Hu ha'echad. He is the one. And then, usually, in this gematria book, they're very positive gematrias. It's a You figure out the number, and then you look it up, the number, and it has all the different gematrias that equal that number. And when I got to these two words, I was mamish shaking. The gematria of Yehuda's name, which is 30, stands for Zu, this is Ha'aveda, the lost one. This is the lost one. As we know, he was lost for a long time. His name equals the word Zu Ha'aveda. This is the lost one. Then I went ahead. The real big gematria on his name, I'm saving for the closing. Then this is called the Sefer Gematrias. You can't go buy it because then I'm out of business. This has the gematrias from number 1 to 1,000, and the second, you give the number, and all the words are in Hebrew. Yeah. So, but a person's name is really his name, the son of his father's name. So Yehudi equals 30. Ben equals 52, which is 82. And his father's name, Nachman, equals 148. Nachman. Nun ches mem nun. So, equals 148. So if you take Yehuda, which is 30, and Ben, which is 52, and Nachman, which is 148, and you do the math, and I did the math, and you can do the math, it equals 230. Let's take a look at the gematria of 230. I don't usually do this. 230 equals the following. Bachar Zahav, a golden boy. Haloi Ein Behem Mum, one that has no blemish. Chad Bidoro, one in his generation. That's Leiby's 230. But then there's a gematria, and I think that's the gematria that we need to leave tonight with. It comes from a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. I believe Hillel said it, I'm not sure, I don't have it in front of me. Hafachba v'hafachba. Turn it over, and turn it over, and look inside it, and try to understand it, said Hillel in the Mishnah. I think it was Hillel. Hafachba v'hafachba. Turn it over. Don't just look at it from the outside, but go turn it over and turn it over until you get something from it, until you have some type of meaning from it. What happened, we don't know why it happened. Nobody could say why it happened, specifically why it happened. But there's a story. Two things that are just... There's a story in this week's Parsha. And this is very scary. Now, I have said this story before. But that it comes out on the week of the Shiva of Yehuda ben Nachman. And his name is Leiby, which comes from the word lave, right? A lion. Yehuda was a lion, Aryeh. I have said this story over probably every single year, Pashas Matos. It is written in Pashas Matos. I would like to read you the beginning of the story, and you'll understand why it's in the Avas Chaim in Pashas Matos. And he says the following story. There was a very big, great tzaddik. His name was very, very famous. His name was Rav Yitzchak Halevi Mebaditchev. He always found good in any Jew. Any Jew, whatever you did, he always found good. He was a huge, huge, huge tzaddik. Now, where he lived, any time they would have a boy that would come for a bris milah, so he would be the tzaddik. They put the boy on his lap, and he would be the tzaddik. So he came to his grandson's bris milah, his son's son's bris milah. And they invited everybody. After davening, they're going to do the bris, 8 o'clock. And the Baditchev Rebbe said, I got to go into my room, some machshavo, some thoughts, and I'll be right out. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, everybody went home already, everybody was leaving, there was just a minyan. Of course, his son would not knock on his door and rush him. Finally, the Rebbe comes out. And he's happy. Now listen carefully, this is so scary. V'achaz man zeh yatzah b'simcha gedoylo. He comes out of the room with great happiness. Molas hayeled. They circumcise the child. Now his son, the Badish of his son, was going to give this child a certain name. But before he could give a name, the Badishiva yelled out the name. A different name than his son wanted to name. Ladies, what was the name that the Badishiva Rav yelled out? The Tekef Kara Shemo, and he suddenly screamed out his name, Yehuda Leib. The name of this little boy. This story is written in Parshas Matos, this week's Parsha. Suddenly the Badishiva Rebbe yelled out the name, Yehuda Leib. The son was upset. Imagine you came to a bris, right? And you're going to name the kid Shmuel, it's your grandfather, right? And when they go, Ukara Yishmo, the rabbi says, Ukara Yishmo, and they called his name Yisrael, and then they asked the father, what do you want to name him? But instead of the rabbi asking the father, he says, Ukara Yishmo Binyamin! And that's his name, you can't go back. And the father's like, no, Shmuel, Shmuel, Shmuel. He said, Binyamin, right, it's too late. They'll go crazy, the whole family will go crazy. What do you mean, it was our grandfather? How could the rabbi name after whatever he wants? Over here, the Badishiva Rebbe, Yehuda Leib! Screen out Yehuda Leib! The son didn't want to name Yehuda Leib. Who's Yehuda Leib? So, it's the Badishiva Rebbe. So they waited till the end of the bris, and the son went over to his father, and he said, what'd you do? First we waited 3 hours, all my friends left, everybody left. And then, you didn't give me a chance to give the name. You gave the name! Who's Yehuda Leib? So he says the following story. He says, I went into my room for 2 minutes just to prepare myself for the bris milah. And I looked out the window. And when I looked out the window, it was a huge cloud. Not a normal weather cloud. A cloud with fire and smoke and black, and things were going on in the cloud. I looked at the cloud. There was stuff going on in the cloud. I was amazed. So, they were able to do, you know, to go into themselves to see what's going on. And he said, I heard in my head that a great tzaddik had died, and his name was Rabbi Yehuda Leib Me'apta. He was called the Apta Rav, and he had just died. I think he was also called the Ohev Yisrael, if I'm not mistaken. He said, and there were thousands of tzaddikim that came out of Gan Eden with musical instruments to bring the neshama of this great tzaddik, Yehuda Leib, to Gan Eden. But even a tzaddik, girls, darken le Gan Eden, on the way to Gan Eden, tzrichen lava derech Gehenim. They have to go through Gehenim. Even the biggest tzaddik to get to his place in Gan Eden, in heaven, has to walk through hell. Why? He didn't do anything wrong. Why? So the Mefarshim say, because as big as a tzaddik you are, but if in your generation there are people sitting in Gehenna, in hell, then you're still a little bit responsible. So you need to see their pain. Because maybe you didn't do enough. So on their way to their Gan Eden, they have to go through it. Is there a bridge? It's brought down in Kabbalah. Is there a bridge? Some go over, some go under. Whatever it is. Okay? So, when he got there, he was on this bridge that goes through Gehenna. He jumped off. The Apta Rav, he's called the Ohev Yisrael. He jumped off and he jumped into hell. He jumped into Gehenna. But a tzaddik like that can't be in Gehenna. So they turned off all the fires. Here he is, he's standing in Gehenna. All the people are like, thank you for jumping in with us. The fires are all out. Maybe a different story. So, at that point, the Malach of Gehenna was very, very upset. He said, what are you doing? You can't jump into Gehenna. You can't. Because of you, we turned off all the fires. So he said, my whole life, All I ever did was save Jews. You think I'm going to go to heaven and go through here and watch all this suffering and not try to save some Jews? Fire's out, man. They're my brothers. I don't want them to suffer. Because it says that whatever a person is in this world, that is what you are in the next world. After 120 years, maybe I'm going to be in Yeshiva Shamali giving shirim to women. I don't know. I don't know how exciting that is in the next world. I have no idea. But if that's what you did in this world, I don't know. How have I? Fine. So he stood there and he said, that's what I did in that world, and therefore I'm not moving. So the Malach ran to Hashem. He said, God, what's going on here? We got to get this guy out of here. I can't turn on the fires. These people need to be punished. He says that he is not moving until he's able to save some of the Jews that are in Gehenim. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Hashem said, he says that he's not going until he saves some Jews. So the only reason, listen carefully, it's amazing. The only reason that we have to listen, including Hashem, to what he says, is if all the times in this world when he said something he would do, he did it. If he was always MS and he never lied, then we can't make him lie here. But if he lied while he was alive, so he said, I'm not going, take him out. He's been a liar in this world, so he'd be a liar in that world. So let's check his books. So they went through his books. The Abdu Rav never in his life said a sheker. Never said he was going to do something, I'm going to call you back. And he didn't call you back. I'm in big trouble. Huge trouble. I'm not going to take this chance because there have been times I said, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. And it's been 5 years. So, they came back and they said, okay, we can't make you into a liar, but you can't stay here and save all of them. It's not going to work. So, they went back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, how many souls can he pull out of Gehenna with him and bring them into Gan Eden? So Hashem said, as many souls as he saved in this world, he has the right to save in that world. We'll look at the numbers. If he saved 300 souls, he could take 300 souls out of Gehenna and bring them. We can't even stand 1 second in Gehenna. It's worse than all the pain of a lifetime. So you can imagine, in walks this tzaddik and he has the power to take these people out. It's not normal. So Hashem said, how many people did he save? So what was the number? They looked it up and they said 220. He has a right to pull 220 souls out of Gehenna. So, where did Rabbi Yehuda Leiv go? He went to the seventh level of Gehenna, which is the worst. If he's going to pull souls, he might as well pull the ones that are in the most pain. He went into the seventh level of Gehenna, and he took out 440. And he came to the gate, and the Malach said, what do you think you're doing? We gave you 220, and you got 440. Uh-uh. You can't get more than 220. Amalai. He said, 220 is the number I took out for two reasons. One, I died. If I would have lived longer, I would have taken more out. Two, sometimes I wanted to take out. I didn't have the money. I tried to get the money. I didn't have the money. If Hashem would have given me the money, and Hashem would have given me a longer life, I definitely would have doubled my numbers. And Tzitzit was an MS-dicker person, and that's how important it is in this life to be MS. The Malach could do nothing, and he let them take 440 neshamas out of Gehenna. So, this week's parasha, Parashat Matos, which talks about a person's word. Person's word has to be a word. My father, Olav Shalom, was his thing. He didn't have to sign a contract with him. He didn't have to shake his hand on a deal. if he gave his word, that was it. A person's word is who he is. Not a person's text. A person's word is who you are. And a person who doesn't keep his word, look what happens in the next world. You have no power in the next world, because whatever you say, they're like, yeah, sure, but in this world you didn't keep your word, so why do we have to keep your word in the next world? Very important when you're growing up that a person, you give a word to a friend, you give a word to a parent, you give a word in business, whatever it is, a person gives a word, even if it's you made a mistake. Even if you made a mistake, you got to keep your word. Of course, not if you're going to say I'm going to hurt somebody, then you should hurt that person. I'm talking about for the good. Person gives a word for the good, you must keep your word. I just found it fascinating that this whole story that's written in Parshas Matos and Avos Chaim, the name of the tzaddik that went to the next world, that had the power to pull people out of him, was this boy's name, Yehuda Leib. This little Leiby, whose name was Yehuda. And it came out this week. So maybe, in his chus, what we should take on, you know, everyone talks about that he was a carbon. First of all, I have to correct something I said last week. Last week I said, Cherev Balaylam, murder comes to the world, on what? On the Avera of Ives Hadin. That's what the Mishnah says. But I spent the whole week looking at this Mishnah. Cherev doesn't mean murder. Cherev means war. War. Cherev. War. A lot of war comes to the world because there's no din. So I can't say, I said last week that Cherev is murder, and murder comes because there's no din, there's no judgment, and there's a lot of women that are igunas, and there's a lot of kids that things are being hidden. We don't really know why it happens. But what we do know is that he was a korban. He was a sacrifice for Klal Yisrael because we were in very big trouble. And Hashem took this little boy who never did a sin in his life. He wasn't even the age of chinuch. He was under the age of 9. A tzaddik, a pure, pure boy. I heard a story. I don't know if you heard this story, but I heard the story this week, and I asked the grandfather when I was there yesterday, because this is such an unbelievable story. I asked, is this true? I have to know if this is true. And I asked the father when I was sitting in front of him, just tell me, is this, because I speak a lot. They knew who I was. I said, I speak a lot. I can't tell a story if it's not true, unless I tell them it's not true. So I heard this crazy story about Leiby. Is this true? And the grandfather told me it's true, and the father told me it's true. Leiby Olav Shalom's, Yehuda Olav Shalom's great-grandfather, the one that he was named after, okay? That is Bris. He was named after his mother's grandfather. His mother's grandfather's name was Yehuda. That's where he got his name from, at the Bris. Now let's, when you get named after somebody, so a lot of that person becomes you. Your name has a lot to do with who you are, and who you're named after has a lot to do with who you are. So the man that he was named after, who was Yehuda, that's how he got his name, which is his mother's grandfather, so his great-grandfather, Yehuda, was in Auschwitz, in the concentration camp. He was a little boy, he had 3 brothers that were with him brought to the concentration camp. And Mengele, Yimach Shemo, the doctor, who would say left and right, told all of them, all the 4 brothers, to go to the left, to death, because they were young kids. Leiby sat down, and he fell asleep, this Yehuda. He fell asleep. All of a sudden, someone woke him up and said, they're all left, you know, they're all gone. Like, hello, what are you doing? What are you sitting on the floor? What are you doing? Kid, little kid, what are you doing? He said, come to the right. So they schlepped him to the right. And he was like one of the youngest kids in Auschwitz. This grandfather that Yehuda was named after, great-grandfather, so when he came to America, he got married, and he had children and grandchildren. Of course, he wasn't alive when Yehuda was alive anymore. So he was learning, he was an older man already. He was learning with his chavrusa. You know, they learn in shul. And he turned to his chavrusa, and I think his chavrusa is the one who told over the story. He's still alive. He's a very old man. And he said to his chavrusa, I want you to know something. Hashem is amazing. I mean, everybody in my family got killed. I fell asleep. Hashem saved me. Look at me. I have children. I have grandchildren. It's amazing. He says, but there's one thing that bothers me. My brothers died al Kiddush Hashem. And I don't know if everything I have is worth more than dying al Kiddush Hashem. It bothered him. It bothered him that he didn't die al Kiddush Hashem. That's this little boy's name. So he died al Kiddush Hashem to fix the pain that his father, grandfather had, that he didn't die al Kiddush Hashem. This boy came to the world, and maybe it was his great-grandfather who came back to the world, who made the biggest Kiddush Hashem in the history of anything that ever happened in the Jewish nation. There was never such a murder by another Jew, and the terrible thing that happened, it has shocked the world. When I went to be Menachem Alva outside, there were newspapers, they were asking questions, because they never saw a shiva by a Jew. They were hundreds, they were down the steps, out the door, there were hundreds, thousands of people going to a house of people they didn't know. It was such a crazy Kiddush Hashem. And the boy's name, Yehuda, came from a man that all that bothered him his whole life. I didn't make a Kiddush Hashem. I didn't make a Kiddush Hashem. So this great-grandson made the Kiddush Hashem. I said to the grandfather, is this true? Is this a true story? This is crazy. He said, 100%. I asked the father. I just wanted to make sure. 100%. He said, that was my wife's grandfather. And he was a big tzaddik. And he had a big family. It just bothered him his whole life. My brothers all died and I didn't. I couldn't make a Kiddush Hashem. So Yehuda made the most unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. A huge carbon, a huge sacrifice, a perfect, beautiful sacrifice. So, what do you tell people? Everyone's like, so Rebbe Wallerstein, I'm not handling it. What do? I have to do something to make myself feel okay for Leibi's neshama. I thought like this. What's a carbon? Carbon's a sacrifice. Really, in the Beis HaMikdash, what's a carbon? When you take an animal and you say, what's happening to the animal should really be happening to me. But the animal is instead of me. This carbon happened to the person themselves. I feel very strongly that if everybody in Klal Yisrael, if every Jewish woman and every Jewish man would sacrifice a bit of themselves, a bit of every single Jew equals a huge sacrifice. Instead of sacrificing a 9-year-old child, if each one of us would sacrifice a bit of ourselves, what does that mean? What should I do? What does that mean? That means to give up something that's hard to give up for Hashem. A little bit. Doesn't have to be big. There's a carbon chatos, right? It's a sacrifice that you bring when you do a sin. So there are three levels. A rich man brings an animal, cow. A middle class man, not so much money, brings a bird. A very poor man brings flour. Those are the three levels. So the rich guy comes, big fat cow, he stands there in front of the kohen, right? The next man brings a bird, a pigeon, a dove. But the poor man walks into the Beis HaMikdash and he sees this rich man with a big cow. The middle class guy and he walks in with a little cup of flour and he feels inadequate. Says Chazal that by Hashem, the poor man's flour is much greater than the rich man's cow. So you don't have to be a big tzaddik and do tshuva, and that's going to be the sacrifice so that there are no more Leibis in our generation. You just have to give a little flour. We're poor. We're not such big tzaddikim. We're not even middle class. I'm talking about myself. I'm a poor guy. I'm not a big tzaddik. I can't bring the big. I'm not going to go fast for 40 days in a row. Right? I'm not going to grow long pears and a long beard. I'm not up to that right now. I'm going to bring a little flour. I'm going to change something in my life that I enjoy doing that might not be so right. I'm going to say, Hashem, this little bit, I'm cutting it. I'm cutting an hour off my internet. I'm cutting an hour off my Facebook. I'm cutting an hour off the waste of my time. It's very hard for me to treat my parents correctly. I'm going to change one way. I'm going to say good morning to them every day. I'm not going to leave my house till I go to their room and say, good morning, Mommy, and good morning, Tati, have a good day, instead of getting dressed, running down the steps, and not even seeing them, and then coming home at night at 11 o'clock when they're sleeping, and I just see them on Shabbos. No, I'm going to give you a little sacrifice, Hashem. I'm going to change my life in a small, teeny cup of flour way. And if every single Jewish person will sacrifice a little bit, there will be no more big sacrifices. So I cannot tell you what to do because I don't know what your sacrifice is going to be. That's something you need to do. You need to look into it. If you're not eating everything exactly kosher, so you know what? I'm going to take it up a step. Even a salad, I'm not going to buy in a non-Jewish store because maybe the knives that they use weren't kosher. So I wasn't so strict before. Now I'm going to be so. That's it. That's what I'm taking on. Hashem, that's my sacrifice. No more Leiby Kletzkis. No more buses blowing up in Eretz Yisrael. No more Itamars. Because every Jewish person took on to do a little bit. That's my advice. I don't know if I'm right or if I'm wrong, but that's my advice. So I want to end with the story that I told the Kletzky family last night. I think it's an amazing story. I have not said the story in 10 years, maybe. In a very long time. I think I said it once or maybe twice, but I've never forgotten the story. It's of Rav Chaim Vital, which I love to learn. He was the student of the Ari HaKadosh, and I think this will be a very big nechama, consolation to everyone who's going to watch this year and everyone who's at this year, to get a little bit of an insight into the next world. Rav Chaim Vital was very Kabbalistic. Whatever he writes is, he wrote the book on Gilgulim. Whatever he writes is very Kabbalistic. And he wrote the story, and this is the story that was given to the Kletzkys last night. So I'd like to read it to you. There was a boy named Yosef. And he was sitting and learning. And on Friday night, when he left shul, he came by to say hello to his mother. And he walked in, the candles were lit, but the seat at the head of the table was empty because his father had died 2 years before. So he walked in with his brothers, Shabta Tova, Omar Habanim, to their mother, Good Shabbos. And when she looked up, she was sitting at the table, she tried to hide her tears because she was crying. Omar Yosef, her son Yosef, said to her, Mommy, it's enough. Today is Shabbos Kodesh. You're not allowed to be in pain on Shabbos. So she turned to her son and she said, That's true, but you know 2 years ago exactly tonight is when your father left the world. And I am so lonely and I am so alone. I cannot stop crying. So Yosef said to his mother, I understand tonight's the yard site. I understand why you're crying tonight, but you cried last Shabbos, and you cried the Shabbos before that. So it's not about the yard site. And why are you crying? Abba began Eden. Abba is in Gan Eden. This is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Hashem wanted. Are you saying that you do not agree with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course, he said this with great honor. So she tried to stop crying. She said, Tzedek, Oyscha Yosef, my son, you are right. I am trying not to cry, but I am broken. He said, Ima, anu roitzim lirot otcha smecha tamid. Your children want to see you happy all the time. Gamani rotze omah ha'ima. I also want to be happy. So Yosef, he was married. He blessed his mother. He said, Good Shabbos. His brother came home. He made Kiddush. And as the kids were singing Zmirah, she began to feel a little bit better. Anyway, as she's sitting at the table, she remembered that week somebody had read her a shidduch. Her husband had died 2 years before. Somebody had read her a shidduch. And when she remembered that somebody read her a shidduch, she began to cry again. So listen to what happened. She went to sleep. And she had a dream. And in this dream, there were people and they were running. There were a lot of people running, and she was running with them. And she came to a forest. And it was very pitch dark in the forest. And all of a sudden, she came to a room that was all lit up. And when she walked into this room, she saw that the sun was out. It was very, very bright. And in front of her was a gan gadol, a huge garden, full of prachim yafim unahadarim, beautiful, beautiful flowers. I'm sure plenty of roses. And there was a beautiful brook. There was beautiful water. Upitom, and all of a sudden, Rasa lefunei Yehudi balzaken. She saw an old man that was standing there. And he was wearing a long robe of white. By the way, whatever Rav Chaim Vital writes, this is the way it is. And the man came over to this woman, the mother of Yosef, and he said, Rotzeh lirot et bala, would you like to see your husband? She said, of course, I would love to see my husband. So she followed him, very, very scared. And she came to a tree, a huge tree, Malay Peris Yafim Mugadoylam, a tree full of beautiful fruits. And she saw a room from far away. Actually, not a room, a migrash. And there were beautiful, like, fences around it. And she saw there were men that were sitting there in beautiful clothing, and they were learning. And in the middle of all these men was a young man, and he was giving a shir. So the old man said to her, who was Eliyahu Navi actually, he said, soon the shir will be over, and you'll see your husband. The shir was over, and the man that was giving the shir came over to the tree. Pitom hikira Rachel, es habeged elyon shel bala, whatever that means, she recognized his clothing, and she fainted. And she fell on the tree, and the old man woke her up, and she turned to her husband, and she asked him the following, Madua halachta mimeni begil tzair, why did you leave me at such a young age? She was angry at him, like he wanted to leave. Why did you leave me at such a young age? He said, De'ilach, I want to tell you that the world that you live in is a world that was created to do tikkunim, to fix people's neshamas. They come here either to finish what they started or to fix their sins. He said, the last time I was in the world before you, I was a very big tzaddik. And I learned Torah my whole life. But because I was learning, I felt that if I get married and I have a wife and I have children, it will disturb my learning. So I lived my whole life till I was an old man as a single person. And I died. And I came up to Gan Eden, and they gave me honor, and they gave me kavod, and I began to move Yeshiva Shalmaila from one level to the next level to the next level. They kept pushing me up, and they kept pushing me up. And then I got to a level, and they said, where are your children? Where's your wife? And I said, I didn't get married. And they said, in the next world, if you didn't get married, you didn't even try, you can't go any further. So they sent me back, because I did everything else right. So they sent me back to the world to have children. So I married you, and we had, how many children does he say? I think 9 or 7, hold on. I don't know if he says it over here. Okay, anyway, he says, Loi Ritzitza Lisa Isha, I didn't want. So they sent me back to this world. Yeah, 7. Kishanoi Lad Yiladenu Hashvi. When we had the 7th child, Karli Lashiv LeGan Eden, they called me back to Gan Eden, LeYeshiva Shali, to my yeshiva. Because they were all waiting for me up here. He said, but I want you to know, listen to this Lashim Tzidkanias that are listening to this year. This is from Rav Chaim Vital from the other world. G'dayla Zechuscha. Your Zechus, my wife, is greater than mine. Ki yesh li kan shem tov, I have a good name here. Ukashiyala hazman. And when the time comes, nichya shuv biyachid ba'ineg, we will live again together. in happiness, but Olam Hazeh, in Olam Haba, in the next world. He said, so I had to come back, I had to get married, I had to have children on my seventh child. They said, enough, and they took me back to the next world. She said, okay, I accept that. But I don't understand. Lo yadati she'at lamdin gadol. When you were married to me, you weren't no big rabbi. You didn't even have time to learn. You were working the whole time. Omar, Bala, her husband said, Gamani lo yadati. Once you come to this world, they erase all your memory. I didn't come to this world the second time to learn. I came to fix what I messed up the first time. I came to have children and to get married. She said, okay, I accept your answer. But our son Yosef, tell me, he has been trying to make a business and everything he touches is falling apart. Why is that happening to our son? He said, Bevadai, surely you remember the Din Torah that Yosef had with the other Jew. Yosef was right. And the other Jew was wrong, but when he lost, he was in so much pain. And in Shemayim, they decided to punish our son Yosef in a terrible way. Ani hitati ba'ado. I went to pray for him. Ubikashti shi'itnu lo rak arba shanim kashrus ba'iskav. I said, don't hurt him. Just take away from him 4 years. That whatever he touches should turn to hay. Punish him 4 years, and no matter how he tries to make money, he shouldn't be able, but don't hurt him. He says, and my tefillah was accepted. And now, he said to his wife, he only has 1 year left of those 4 years. She said, okay. She said, what about our son David? He's already so old and he doesn't have a shidduch. What's going on? He's 24 years old and he doesn't have a shidduch. So her husband answered, the bas zugoi shel David, the girl that David's supposed to marry, ichra, I spoke about this once, ichra levoi le'olam, she came to the world late. She didn't come in the time she was supposed to be here. For whatever reason, she came to the world late. And right now, she's only 13 years old. She came to the world 11 years later than she was supposed to. Hamevin yavin. But in 5 years from now, she will come to the town that you live, and there will be a chasana. He will marry her. Okay? She's getting all her answers. Her last question. She turned to her husband, and this is the reason I told this story last night to this family. She said, okay, you have an answer for everything. I'm a Kabel, but answer me this. Ma, why kara ha'ason, did this terrible tragedy happen libanenu to our son, Ben Hashalosh, our third son? Hunareg al yad goy shikr. He was killed by a drunk non-Jew when he was a little boy. Why did that happen? Chayecha ba'ala Omar, chayecha, your life, said the husband. Boyi acharai, follow me. Listen carefully, this is what I told them. They came to a garden, molei or, full of light. Ubay shesulim eitzim ktanim, there were small trees, porchim mikol tzedadeim, growing from all sides. Ki'ilum etzbayrin imbam en ha-shamayim, yardu kimin amudei or, betzvayim shayim, from the heavens, in that room, were coming all kinds of lights and colors, mamish, from the heavens, from Shemayim. Tziparim noise, pochu me'etz le'etz, beautiful birds were hopping from tree to tree. V'hishama as she rust, and she heard the beautiful songs that these birds were singing. What were they singing? Or zeruah latzadik, uli yishrelei simcha. L'man yitzimecha kavod, v'lo yudom. Zevuvim gedoylim, huge flies, mikol atzvah, made of all kinds of colors, maybe butterflies. Ofu b'sarech l'teicha izneha, came and spoke into her ear, and they said, Shalom, Shalom, peace, peace. L'rachayku l'karav, to those who are far and those who are close. Tzvam kitanim ratzu be'esev, the grass was made out of many different colors, and it was singing, Va'ani osher oitzcha ranam abayke chazdecha. L'pit, all of a sudden, Rasim amalu guli esh, meratzim mishlol tzvam, she saw shootings of fire in all kinds of different colors. And there standing across from her were malachim ketanim, small angels, bali knafayim, with wings. Megam heim nitzvu liyada, they were standing in front of her and next to her, misaviv, surrounding her. Nishma megina nadera shakli negina, she heard beautiful music from musical instruments. Vihir gisha shanashama papachas mimena, and she felt that her soul was leaving her. Vihir medeth liz aleif, and she began to faint. Miyad lokach bala esav ben agan, her husband took some grass from the garden. Vinicha al apa, and he put it on her forehead. Ruach shava aleha, her spirit came back. Miras achupa, she saw a beautiful chupa. Asuya me'avonim toivois, made of beautiful diamonds and jewels. Noititzoit mikol tzavei hakeshes, with sparks of all the colors of a rainbow. Amitachas lechupa, underneath lechupa, ba ma'ayin malach, v'amad mula, there stood an angel in front of her. Hi hikira esbena, she recognized the malach was her son. Haharag, that was killed. V'hu tzochek lefanah, he began to smile and to laugh in front of her. He is alfa shenish, she fainted again. He gave her again the grass to smell, and she opened her eyes. And she could not believe that this was her son and no one else. So she asked her son, Madua halachta mimeni begil kolkach tzayir, why did you leave me as such a little boy? Heshev la hayeled. So the little boy answered her, Hakol lefi cheshbonai shel borei olam, everything goes according to the cheshbon of God. I was in the world way before I was born to you. I was born the last time I was in the world to a very chashuv family, in our town. We were attacked by goyim. They killed everybody. And they kidnapped me. I was a half a year old. And this non-Jewish Goya woman took me to her house and brought me up. Until the Jews found out that these Goyim had a Jew, they redeemed me and they brought me back into the Jewish fold, and I became a huge Gaon, a huge tzaddik. And I lived my whole life benachas. And when I died, I came to the Olam HaEmes, b'simcha. I knew that I would have a good part in Gan Eden. Well, Lisi Mala Mala, I went up and up. Achi Nati Lamakam Chimeta Lo Yachoti Lalas Oid, until I came to a place where they said, you can't go up anymore. And I asked them, why? There's many, many levels above this. And they said, Mikivan, since Shianakti Shona Etzel Isha Nachriya, you nursed from that non-Jewish woman's milk. And a mouth that nursed from a non-Jewish woman's milk cannot go any higher, cannot speak on the high levels of Gan Eden. But it wasn't fair. I was kidnapped. I was a half a year old. So the Beis Din Shamayla said, we have to help him. Let's send him back down to the world. Let a Jewish mother nurse him. And after the Jewish mother nurses him for the same time, amount of time that the non-Jewish woman nursed him, he will have a tikkun. And then he can go to the highest level in Gan Eden. And he said the following, I'd like to read it to you inside. Oz nolati etzlecha, ima, that's why I was born to you. Uschus gedoylihi avurech, and it's a huge schus for you. They took me back after I was 3 years old to my place. Because there was nothing, there was no way in this world, in Olam Haba, I could have gone further. This is the part. This is the most important of my whole night. This mother didn't give up. She said, okay, I hear all these answers. So you had to die. But why being murdered in such a gruesome way? So listen carefully, but this little malach, who was her son, answered her. Why in such a terrible way? The mother continued to ask. Heshiv ben va'amar, her little boy answered her. Kishamati le'yaftam in a'ilam, when I was supposed to leave the world, nigzira gizera gedoyla, there was a terrible decree, al Yehudi Irenu, on all the Jews of our city.
They were all supposed to die. Gam at, you also. Vavinu, and my father also. As kivdu aisi, they gave me the honor. She'eye kapara ha'ir kula, that I would be the kapara, the forgiveness, the carbon for that city. V'nirtzachti l'manam, I was murdered for them. U'bekach, and through that, hitzalti es'eir kula, I saved the whole city. L'chein, and therefore, because I did this, zoyche ani l'chol ha'kovet ha'gadol hazeh kan, that is why I am sitting in this unbelievable place in Olam Haba. Not because I learned Torah, because I gave up my life to save a whole city. La'af echad b'Gan Eden. There is no other soul in the whole of Gan Eden. Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Ein rishus lirois oisi. Nobody is allowed to ever see me. Because he was that holy that nobody could handle looking at him. Rak la'aba. Except for daddy. B'kol zman she'yirtze, whenever he wants to see me, he could see me. Because he went through the pain of losing me. Hayelet tzochak min imus, he began to smile and to laugh. Hischel l'rachek, he began to move away. Min elam, and he disappeared. Azamalai Bala, her husband turned to her and he said, Re'isa, my wife, you've seen Shekol HaKushi Yishlcha, to all the questions that you have, Yesh Terutzin, they are answered. Hein HaBayre Yeni Yaitze Shimra, the Creator does not create any bad. Ke'esa Lai Lachza El Shuri, I'm sorry, but now I must go back to give my share. Hu Levaya Oysa El HaMakam HaRishon, she laid her eight, he brought her back to the place of the tree. And then he said to her, Kan tov ma'od, in this world it is very good. Abol ein ani yochol lisbol es anuscheska v'esdama esecha. But I cannot even in this world handle your pain and your crying. Which means that when a person in this world is in pain, the person in the next world that they're in pain about feels their pain. Tasli toive gedoyle, he says to his wife, do me a big favor. Tatzchili lichyos besimcha. Start to live your life in happiness. I know that this week they read you a very good shidduch. Don't push the shidduch away. Bala Nelam, her husband disappeared. By Yehudi Hazokain, Nirashuv, and the Eliyahu Navi reappeared and took her through this forest. She woke up. Ki'ila Noda Mechadash, like she was just born. Man Rab Oy Chikwa Shikhil Panev im Shikhil Yuris is Baalam Usha Ubarach Amachayech. Evan Kavda Negulim Al Liba, a heavy stone was lifted from her heart, and he Kabbalah Tanchumim. Ke'es Nisas Beshenis. In a short time later, she got married again. V'choyachayim Smechon Ne'imim. And she lived a happy life. That means it's true. I know it's very late, and I know it took a long, long time. Right, I have it. But I think it was very important for us to hear this. First of all, there's so much that happens. You see from the story of Chaim Vital, if you don't learn Rav Chaim Vital, if you learn Rav Chaim Vital, he was that Rizal. Whatever that Rizal taught, he was the Talmud Muvot. So this story is not a Bubba Maisa. Whatever you heard in this story, every bit of it is 100% true. That boy who died to save the whole city, nobody in Gan Eden can see him. And there's somewhere else that Rav Chaim Vital says that all the children that died on Kiddush Hashem, no one's allowed into that room, not even Malachim, because the God goes into that room once a day to teach the Tinaikis by himself. It says, the Shekhinah goes into the room to teach the children Torah, the Shekhinah and them. Nobody, not even Michal, Gavriel, Rafal, are allowed into that room. This is what I told them last night. But I'd like to end tonight with my last gematria on this inyan. The last gematria is as follows. And it fits so well. The last gematria, Yehuda, which equals 30, is the same gematria as Chad Gadya.
There was one lamb. Tizabana bo betray zuze. That God bought with his two zuze, which we say is the Torah, is the Luchos. But v'asa shunra. The shunra came, v'achal l'gadja. And he ate the gadja. He killed the gadja. Tizabana bo betray zuze. And that's what happened last week. Yehuda's gematria is the chad gadya, is the one lamb, the sacrificial lamb, the one lamb. But if you go to the end of chad gadya, it's an interesting thing. Through the whole chad gadya, I really should have taught this to you on Pesach, right? So the cat ate the gadya, and the dog ate the cat, and the stick ate the dog, and the fire burnt the stick, and the water put out the fire, and the cow drank the water, and the sheikah killed the cow, and the Malcham Ovis killed the sheikah, and Hashem killed the Malcham Ovis. But what's interesting in the whole story is that the gadya got killed right away. But after every single story where the shunra ate, and the it says, chagadya, he's still around. The chagadya is still around. What do you mean? He should be gone. The shunra is gone. Everything else is gone. But after every chapter you say, the shunra, the gadya is mine above the treasure, they Chagadya is still there. And then after the dog eats the Chagadya is still there. And we know that all these gadjas, all this dog and this fire and this, are all different examples of Golas. One is the Persian Empire, one is the Greek Empire, right? The final Chagadya. So the Sheikh kills the cow, comes the Malcham Ovis, the last door. And the Malcham Ovis, his job is he's going to kill the Sheikh, to destroy the Jewish nation in any kind of any different way, whatever he can do. What's happening this Sunday? That we're not sitting on the floor this Sunday? That Mayor Bloomberg opened up all the civil courts to marry these mushchasim? Last Sunday, if I wanted to get married, no, they're closed. It's Sunday. We're closed. This Sunday is opening up, and not only that, they have too many weddings. With all the places being open, they can't handle all these men marrying men and women marrying women. So what did? They made a gairel. They made a lottery. Everyone put your name in. And the first 2,000 that come out, first 2,000 mushchasim, that's the ones that are going to get married. That's the Malcham Ovis who's coming to kill the Sheikhet. That's where we're living. But I'll tell you something else. I don't want to be your daily news, but I'll tell you something else that happened this week. In California, they passed a law that in public school, as a class, must be taught homosexuality and lesbianism. Not only that, but any person who in American history or to culture gave anything who was a homosexual or lesbian must be put into the books, and everybody must learn it as a subject. So the Christian Catholics got up and said, now you have another reason you should go to parochial school, private school. So they're protesting. You're taking kids who have a mother and a father, you're bringing them into school, elementary school, and you're teaching them a subject you have to know about a man and a man and a woman and a woman could also be parents. So not only did it get to the point where they're allowing ksuvas, marriage licenses, for these mushchasim to do whatever they want. And your mayor, Bloomberg, who went to visit Leiby's house, should have thrown him out the door. How dare you come to the carbon that you brought? You think that kid would have been killed if they wouldn't have passed that law? We lost our shmira. With this homosexuality, God says, I will not be. We lost our shmira. So the mayor, who's opening the courts, went to their house to be Menachem Avil, the boy he killed. That's the world that we live in. In our generation, the Malcham Avil is going to come, and he's going to shech the sheichet. But the Baal Agada says, Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya. Leiby still lives. He still lives. And the last chapter in Chag Gadya, V'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come, V'shochat L'malach HaMaves, and he will shecht that Malach HaMaves. And the end of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. The end of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the beginning of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, is Kiddush. How do you end the Haggadah Shel Pesach? With two words. Chad Gadya. There's one lamb. And the Chad Gadya is Klal Yisrael. And in the end of it, they can try whatever they want. In the end, there'll only be one Gadya left. And that will be us. And we will see Yehuda ben Nachman, Leibi, Bekarov, once again. And he will be standing at the head of the line.